In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. She only wanted a crumb, not a loaf. She's not asking for status, honor, or an earthly bread king, but just a crumb. Her daughter was severely oppressed by a demon. She lived in Tyre and Sidon, far away from the temple, far away from the presence of God on earth, surrounded by pagan temples, pagan rituals, pagan rites, pagan ideologies, and a pagan way of life. And it had catastrophic consequences. Queen Jezebel, Ahab's wife, was from that region, and little had changed in the subsequent centuries. Men still lived by their passionate lusts and desires, disguising immorality under reason and clothing polytheistic worship with agree to disagree. Now that little bundle of joy she so eagerly welcomed into the world years ago suffers. Her society failed to protect her. Her religions failed to bless her. And then she hears that Jesus has come to her region. He's the Lord, the Son of David, the one sent to crush the devil's head, as promised from long ago. So she comes to him crying out for mercy. She went to the right place and prayed the right words with a heart filled with faith. And Jesus turns and walks away. Her prayer is met with silence. But she responds to his silence with more prayer, and to his insults with faith. God cannot lie. She knows her place. She understands that Jesus was not sent to live among her people. She is not part of the chosen nation of Israel. Jesus was not sent to preach and teach and carry out his ministry of healing and driving out demons among the Gentile nations, but only among Israel. She lives in Tyre and Sidon, not in the Promised Land. So she is a foreigner to the promises of God, a foreigner to the covenant that God had established. So she just wanted a crumb. She doesn't want to take anything away from Israel. She need not him stay with her. She doesn't go out searching for him, but he had come to her. He had left Israel and come to her region. The divine crumb had fallen off of Israel's table and in front of her, and she will not let him go unless he blesses her. She doesn't need him to stay with her visibly. She doesn't need him even to travel to her house to heal her daughter visibly. For she clings not to his visible presence, but she clings to him. That is why her faith is great. So she's not offended at the silence or the insult of being called a dog. For she knows that she is his dog underneath his table. She is an outsider, but she believes that he is still the Savior of all nations. She doesn't want him to stay and to fix her culture. She doesn't want him to stay and to teach and carry out miracles among her people. She just wants a divine crumb. And he gives it to her. Be it done for you as you desire. And her daughter was healed instantly. This Gentile mother is the mother of all us Gentiles. And what I mean is this, that all Gentiles were in the same situation as her daughter, severely oppressed by demons. At one time, we were all like them. We were under the guise of demons. St. Paul says it this way, that you were dead in your trespasses and sins, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who is at work among the sons of disobedience. The devil is smart. He knows that he doesn't need to physically possess people in order to claim them for his kingdom. He is quite content to spiritually possess people blinding them to the truth of the word of God, so that they may fall into utter destruction. Yes, he teaches false doctrine, but he doesn't just lie about the way of salvation. He also lies about creation, biology, and science. He says that some things are outside of the scope of religion. And how many have bought that line hook, line, and sinker? Which is simply to say that some things are outside of the purview of God himself. The truth is quite obvious, but still men follow his lies, led into blindness as they engage in the passionate lusts of their flesh. So science has become subjective. Ideology has replaced reason, biology, and science, true science. Whom do you think has furthered these lies? Whom do you think promotes the rejection of truth on any level? Who wants men to engage in passionate lusts and desires to fulfill their every desire and then to codify it? It is not of God. That much is true. St. Paul says that all prayers are received by someone. As every prayer is received by someone, either God or the devil, as every sacrifice is received by someone, even God or demons, so also the world is following someone. Every individual follows someone else's teaching, either God's or the devil's. And I do not want you to be partakers with demons. And so this, our mother, cries out on our behalf to Christ, the Lord, the Son of David. And we echo her prayer. Have mercy on us, O Lord, Son of David. Our world is severely oppressed by demons. Like this mother, we know who we are. We are not from the tribes of Israel. We are from Japheth, not from Shem. And we live in America, not in ancient Israel. God has not promised our country success, prosperity, or anything else. So like her, we are outsiders to the covenantal promises of God. So we only want a crumb. We don't need his visible presence among us. We don't need to see him carrying out miracles among us this day. We don't need his visible presence and the way God worked in the same way as he worked 2,000 years ago. We don't need to see any of that. We don't need to see a change in our life or healing in our body. We just need that divine crumb. And that is great faith. Great faith holds not onto the visible presence of Christ. It holds not onto the miracles of Christ or a change in our life, a bread king Christ, but it holds solely on to him. Great faith wants to receive Jesus, even though it looks like nothing more than a small crumb. Because great faith recognizes that he is the Lord, the conqueror of sin, and the one who crushes the head of Satan. Here, that divine crumb is placed on your lips. Here is your refuge and your peace. You need not worry. For though it is only a crumb, the King of Kings is here with all of his power and might to crush Satan underneath your feet. We're not trying to take away Israel's glory. God does not share our DNA, but he shares theirs. The history is their history. Their ancestry, he shares their ancestry, not ours. Theirs are the history that we learn and study. And we don't demand that every Christian learn our history or study it. But for the sake of the Son of God, who is a Jew, we study ancient Israelite history and we learn about them. Their glory, earthly glory, surpasses ours. And that's okay. For he has come into our region this day. We want only what is our right. Forgiveness, life, and salvation. That doesn't diminish Israel's glory, because what he gives to us takes nothing away from what he had done among them. His grace is abundant. The crumb is just as valuable to us as the whole loaf, for the whole Christ is present therein. So eating this supper is just as valuable as seeing Jesus teaching or preaching or doing miracles. In fact, it is far more valuable because this tiny little morsel gives you all that you need and far more. So it is good for us to prepare for this holy supper by fasting, prayer, and by getting dressed up. You are teaching yourselves and you are teaching others that this is different and that your King is here to crush the devil underneath your feet. But these outward preparations do not make you worthy to receive communion. Only faith makes you worthy. A great faith like this Canaanite woman believes that it is unworthy of such great gifts. It is not deserving of God's love. In fact, it is more along the lines of a dog. For we have lived by our passionate lusts and desires. Anyone who has a dog and has tossed it food knows how it lives by its belly. Yet we also believe that this bread is Christ's body and this wine is his blood, and he is present here for the forgiveness of our sins, to defeat Satan, to crush the devil, to give us forgiveness, and to open the kingdom to us. Here, at this supper, all our prayers are answered. A great faith, then, doesn't need to see prosperity, an exciting life, or an exciting life filled with adventure, travel, or success. It doesn't need to see any improvements in society, in our health, or in the body. So though it looks like God is silent to our prayers and in fact insulting us by reminding us that we are sinners in whom there is nothing good, a great faith knows that it has the divine crumb, and that is enough. So as our bodies ache and our minds deteriorate, as demons influence society's cultures, ideologies, and even schools, as troubles mount, we echo our mother's prayer. Lord, help me. For even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table. We only want a crumb, not the loaf. We're not asking for status, honor, a visible presence of Christ, or a divine bread king. We just want a divine crumb. And he responds, the body of Christ given for you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.